Good morning.
Morning.
We will begin with our study of the fourth Aliyah.
Has joined.
Parsha Yitro. We'll begin with the Shem Yehud. Shem Yehud could shabri hu ishkin te bit kilu urchimu, kilu, kilu urchimu. Reacta le shame yude bavate. The Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah.
Has joined.
Torah mitzvah. Vahino amadunai lohino alena maseya deno penene alena maseya deno penenehu. The fourth Aliyah, or Parasha Yitro, begins with Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, and completes at verse 6. This is a total of 6 verses. 6 verses connects to Zeranpin, connects to the 6 emotions, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. Verse 1. Bachodesh ha-shilishim Letzeit b'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim Bayom hazeh Ba'u Midbar Sinai Vayisu merfidim, vayavo midbar sinai, vayachanu bamidbar, vayichan sham Yisrael, neged hahar, umoshe Allah, el Elohim vayikra elav, Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Min Hahar Lemor Totomar Levet Yako Betaged Livne Yisrael Atem Reitem Asher asiti lemitzrayim va'esa et hem al kanfei nisharim li'avi etchem elai. Ve'ata im shamoa ishma'u bekoli ushmartem Et beriti vaitem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz v'atem tihiyu li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh ele hadvarim Asher tedaber el b'nei Yisrael. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. The English translation. Verse 1. In the third month of the children of Israel's departure from Egypt, on this day they arrived in the desert of Sinai. When did they arrive at Sinai? In the third month on this day. The word for this day is Bayom. like with Bereshit, when you have the bet with the vowel, it's showing you that the hay has been dropped and the vowel moved to cover it. So it's actually behayom. On this particular day, they arrived in the desert of Sinai. What is the day? It's Rosh Chodesh. The second verse. They journeyed from Rephidim and they arrived in the desert of Sinai. And they encamped in the desert. And Israel encamped there opposite the mountain. So why is the verse telling us that they encamped, and then it adds that Israel encamped? It's implying that there was a camp of the heir of Rav, or it was a camp of the angels. But there were two camps, one for the children of Israel and one for either the heir of Rav or the angelic messengers, or maybe all three. Moses ascended to Hashem, and Elohim called to him from the mountain, saying, "So shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel." There is a lot of commentary on what is the house of Jacob and why is it different than the sons of Israel. And most of the commentators say that the house of Jacob refers to the women, and it is spoken to them in a very soft, inviting tone. But to the men, the sons of Israel, it's a harsh tone. Why is there this difference? Because the women are on a higher level, spiritually. And this is, many commentators comment on this and attempt to explain it, but essentially it boils down to that women are on a higher level, and therefore there is no need to be harsh, but their essence is gentle, and they need to be spoken to gentle. And we need to learn to put ourselves in the level of the people we speak to. So do we need to be gentle or do we need to be harsh? It depends on who you are speaking to and what is their level. Verse 4. You have seen what I had did to the Egyptians, and I bore you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to me. This is what Moses was told to say to the two groups. So on one level, it's vision, what I did to Egypt. On eagle's wings, representing the central column, I brought you to me, representing the left column. The fifth verse. And now if you obey me and keep my covenant, you shall be to me a treasure out of all people. The word for treasure is segula. But there's really no good translation of segula. the King James Version and all of the corruption, it becomes the chosen people. But it's not chosen. It's not a treasure. Segula is the Hebrew vowel that has three dots under the letter. It forms an upside-down triangle. Segula also has a connection to the color purple. And the color purple is the elevated color. When you're looking at, what's the term? When you're striving to see the spiritual aura, it has a color. Many people are yellow, many people are green, many people are red. But what is considered the highest color is the purple color. To be a person of the three columns, which is really this phrase, you shall be to me a person of the three columns out of all peoples. There's a condition to being this three-column person. You have to be willing to obey, and you have to be willing to keep the covenant. What is the covenant? It's the Brit Milah, the circumcision mitzvah. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of princes and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. The translation, a kingdom of princes, is Mamlechet Kohanim. You shall be to me from kings, or perhaps kingdom, of priests and a nation of holiness. You see, the translation is slightly corrupted. Why can't we say that to be a kingdom of priests? Because that is the true role of the children of Israel, to be a priest. What does the priest do? The priest is the one who does the sacrifices in the temple. The Levites sing, but the priest performs the sacrifice. Both the priest, the Kohen, and the Levi are teachers. So what does it mean for us to be a nation, a holy nation of priests? I'm going to leave the question unanswered because it takes some contemplation to arrive at an answer that is appropriate for you. That's the end of the reading. Does anyone have any questions?
Anouk?
Yes.
Does that mean having one heart and one mind?
Doesn't say that yet.
Okay.
Priests are not one heart and one night. The children of Israel have the capability of reaching a spiritual level of being unified And the description of that unity is one heart and one mind. And that is said elsewhere in this parasha. It was said in the parasha of Beshalach the previous week. And yes, it's very significant, but that's not what the priests are.
Yeah. But the priests or the mediators, weren't they the ones that were between us and Hashem?
On one level, that's a true statement. Is it a completely true statement? I don't think so. But that's just my opinion.
Okay.
The priests perform the sacrifice. They take from your hand the animal and they slaughter it. And the animal represents your animal self. You hand it over to the priest to be slaughtered, to be shechted, because it's a replacement for your animal. Because to sacrifice your animal means that you would have to die, and God does not want you to die. He just wants you to control your animal lust, your animal emotions. But what is the priest? The priest is a channel for chesed, for loving kindness. And yet he performs murder on the animals. The three components of the sacrifices are the priest representing chesed, the Levites who sing to elevate the mood, to elevate the people to be happy. You're bringing a sacrifice of depression. You're bringing a sin offering. You're feeling guilty. The Levites would sing to elevate your souls. They represented the left column. And the Israeli, the person bringing the sacrifice, represents the central column. But to be a kingdom of priests, are you representing the central column? Or are you representing the loving kindness of Hashem? And you're bringing that loving kindness to the other nations. A lot to contemplate. Not easy decisions. It's not easy contemplation. On page 9 of the Perek Shirah, the first paragraph on page 9 is the 15th paragraph of chapter 4. Ta'asit omeret ezri meim Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo. O se shamayim waaretz. This is a verse from Tehillim. The swift is saying, my help is from Hashem, the maker of the heaven and the earth. Can you draw? Can you connect to something higher than the maker of heaven and earth? The verse is telling us to stay connected to Hashem. The gematria of the word Tatsit is 479. Another word with that same gematria in the Torah is hada'at. It's sometimes translated as the mind, but it's actually the knowledge. Chit nu. We married. Ha'adat, the testimony. Mishpatin, judges. This is the bird that's telling us to remember Hashem and to praise Hashem. The 16th paragraph. Bia Omeret Or Zerua La Tzadik Ul Yishrei Lev Simcha. This is a verse from Tehillim. It's also the song that we sing on Kol Nidre. The stormy petrel is saying, light is sown for the righteous and joy for the straight-hearted. It's a beautiful verse. Beautiful when we sing it on Yom Kippur. There's a lot of significance to this verse. The first of the name of the bird is a righteous Yah, or Yah is righteous. Why would you name a bird that? The gematria is 105, and let's take a look at what other words in the Torah connects to this. The first word that has a gematria of 105 is increased, Allah. But that's a name of God from the Muslims. It's also a name of God within the frame of Judaism. If we use the direct numbers, Kuf Hey, we're going in the direction of the monkey. Ayamim, the days. Nelka, we'll go. We all go. His host. Kapha, whose palm, or the palm, or in the direction of the palm of your hand. The 17th paragraph.
I know.
Yes, Hannah.
Every spring for the last 3 years, we have birds that tried to nest under our front porch. And because of seeing the word stormy petrel yesterday, I looked up the petrel because that's kind of the season. It's for about 3 weeks. It's really, really hard. We finally had to put screen wiring up there, so I'm hoping it's going to make a difference this year, because they make such a mess with their droppings and everything. But I learned that this was a very large bird that lives in Antarctica, and they're considered to be like vultures. They're very, very aggressive, but they clean up the area. And there's a real short video on YouTube. So maybe the other students would like to look it up too, because it was new to me that they're so large and that they bite and are very, very aggressive, but are, you know, have that two-sided nature of cleanup, but yet very aggressive. So. And I didn't remember the psalm being associated with Kol Nedre, so that's a new little tidbit with it, you know, that I need to ponder anyway. Okay, that's all.
Appreciate the comment. Just as okay. In addition, being righteous people need to be aggressive in their separating themselves from sin,
mm-hmm.
the way the Torah would respond to that idea.
Yeah. Well, the bird almost looks like an animal, a combination between a duck and a bird, but very huge, like, you know, so it's worth looking at the video.
Appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to meet again.
So the 17th paragraph, Ratzifi, there's a parentheses around the number 51 or Nun Aleph, which means please. It's a word that translates as please, but usually when you have the quote sign, it's an indication that it's a number or an acronym. And then the word is own key. Which is very close to Anoki. But the gematria of own key is 87. And 87 is 86 plus the kolel. 87 is the gematria of Anochi in its completed form with the vav. Ritzifi Omer. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami Yomar. Elohim. This is a verse from Isaiah, and it's a verse that is read as part of the Haftorah for the Shabbat of Comfort, the Shabbat following Tisha B'Av. The translation, the bat is saying, comfort my people, comfort them, says Elohim. Lots of questions to be asked. Why is Elohim the level of Hashem that comforts? Why is it the bat who cannot see expressing it? The bat doesn't have eyes that work. It has the sonic tool. It sends out a sound wave and it reflects back to it, which it's able to read what's around it.
Hello?
Yes? Go
ahead,
Paula.
Because there's, with the COVID, you know, there's insinuations that it related to the bat, the experiments and all. And I'm thinking, since this verse at this time is saying comfort, that maybe that's a positive sign for us today concerning COVID.
It's definitely a positive sign, just as it's a positive sign on the Shabbat following Tisha B'Av.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the gematria of Ritzifi, the word for bat, its gematria is 390. Which is 39 in its completed state of 10 Sefirot, a partsuf. And 39 is the Hebrew word tal, which is connected to Mashiach. So it's definitely part of comforting. It's definitely part of positivity. We're out of time, so if anybody has any questions, now's the time to ask them, or if you have comments you'd like to make, now is the time again.
So,
appreciate the comments that everybody made today. Go ahead.
How can the nations find comfort in the COVID pandemic? How does that comfort?
Is the COVID-19 and the pandemic part of the plan of creation?
I'm going to say yes.
The answer is yes, because anything that happens in the physical world is part of the plan of creation. So how can you not get comfort in the pandemic? Yes, people are afraid to get...
Has joined.
They're afraid to be affected by the virus. But what is fear? Fear is actually saying to the world, to yourself, that you don't like the way Hashem runs his world. You think you can do a better job. If you're afraid... That's really what you're saying.
You broke up when you made your statement. Did you say fear of the vaccine or fear of the virus?
I said fear of the virus, but it can also be fear of the vaccine. Any fear. There's only one fear that we are trying to achieve, and that's fear of Hashem. And the word for fear also translates as awe, but the Hebrew word is yirah. Yirah is awe, or it's actually fear. If you're a fear of punishment, it's fear. If you're in awe of the way Hashem runs his world, which we can achieve, that's how you can say that the COVID gives us comfort. There is a story told about Rabbi Akiva with two other rabbis touring or walking through the destruction site of the temple after the Romans had destroyed it. And he saw a fox. And he started to laugh. And the other two rabbis are aghast. How can you be laughing at the destruction of the temple? And his answer was, there's a verse, which I don't know well, there's a verse in Prophets that talks about the foxes taking over the temple site. And he said, I see the fox. I remember the verse. The fact that the fox is taking over the temple site, and I'm paraphrasing the verse, the fact that the fox is taking over the temple site, I now am certain that Hashem's prophecies of Mashiach will take place. The rebuilding will take place. How can you be comforted by the chaos in this world, by the pain and suffering in this world, when you recognize that this is all part of the cleansing mechanism that is required to manifest the Mashiach and the world that is coming, Olam Haba, in our physical world? Does that not give you comfort? The two negatives make a positive. Does that give you comfort to know that the COVID is cleansing the world, making way for the plan of creation to manifest the Mashiach and Olam Haba, the world that is coming? That gives me comfort. But that's what they say. That's why they call it Cuckoo Kabbalah.
That's why a lot of people are fearful, because they do not know. They have the fear, not the awe. Because they do not know the word of Hashem. They don't know the truth of creation.
That is correct. But what does that teach us, Balka? It teaches us we're not doing enough. We're not revealing enough light. We're not teaching enough people. We're not spreading the truth as far as we need to spread it. And the other side of that is we have to make sure the person we speak to is open to hear it. Otherwise, you push him away with that. And this is the balance point that we all have to arrive at, and we all will arrive at. And we will not need Mashiach to bring us to that point. We have to bring it ourselves to that point. The most amazing revelation that I ever experienced was listening to Rabbi Berg do a Shabbat drash, a Shabbat speech or teaching. And what he said, and I'm paraphrasing it, is you all think that Mashiach will come first. But the answer is you have to change, and then Mashiach will manifest after you change, after we all change. Mashiach is the last thing that will happen in the plan of creation leading up to Olam Haba. The changes have to come from each one of us. Mashiach doesn't come first, he comes last.
So, why do we hear New World Order versus a new world, or the the Zion coming down. There's two different
You're using terms, but they're not really defined, especially today, because the New World Order comes. It's a term that I've heard many times coming from angry people who think that the world is in control. The world is out of control. It's really what they think. And so we have to define what is the New World Order.
Right.
You know, you may have heard of the book that was published by the SARS secret police called the Zionist Protocol, or the Elders of Zion. I think you know the book I'm talking about. It was the beginning of the 1800s anti-Semitism and the pogroms in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the message of the book was that the Jews control the world. And the Jews control the money and many other aspects of that kind of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So is that book false or true?
That's true in a sense of spirituality and what we know that... Israel is the nation of priests, and that's what they're supposed to do, is go out and serve the people of the world and bring them back to creation, the purpose of creation, should I say.
So why don't the rabbis go out and tell the world that it's right, that it's correct?
So why don't
Zion is true?
So why don't they? Do they have the fear, or do they not have the awe, but have the fear that they'll get prosecuted?
Because the people who are reading the Elders of Zion and accepting it as true are fearful of that control. They're fearful of Hashem's control.
Who are fearful?
The people who accept the Elders of Zion as truth. The people who are anti-Semitic.
So is the rabbis going out? I know where they're spread across the nation.
No, they're not.
Why are they not?
Well, one reason is the rabbis of our generation, the souls of the rabbis are Erev Rav. They're designed to create separation between people. They get pleasure by creating separation. I recommend you read section 20 of the Zohar Sulam commentary in the Zohar on Bereshit A. Section 20. It describes the five levels of Erev Rav.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see, if you're honest with yourself, you'll see the rabbis of your congregations fall into one of those categories.
You know, Hanok, it's sad. I already see a lot of that, and I have an awe of how God does things.
Amen.
But, okay, there's a but. All with me, there's always a but. So,
there's never a but. There's only a yet.
A yet, okay. A short example is, I took a friend who cannot drive to their bank to get their monthly money for the month. And they withdrew it. And when they went to get it, they were in a hurry. And they put their money up when they were in the car, and then when they went to get it, they couldn't find it. So we looked and looked and looked and looked and looked, and they explained that that was their money for the month. I said, yes, I know. And I said, well, I have some money put back, and I knew how much it was. I said, I'll just go ahead and give that to you. You can have that money. And so they were greatly relieved. Well, I went out to the car the next day. They sent. They wanted something that they had put in the car, and I went and I had to move some things around, and I saw this envelope, and it was their money. But it also had their driver's license in it, and it had their bank card in it. So they were with me, and I went in, and I opened it up, and I put it out all on the table, and I said, you know, I said, look what I found. And so they were greatly relieved that I had found the money and their bank card and their driver's license. But I'm in awe that we had looked that day, didn't find it, and that out of the clear blue sky was sent out that day, which I know it's not clear blue sky, but anyway, I was sent out to look for this other item. And there was the money. But when you were talking about fear, and I know that's part of my birth sign, and I never, you know, realized it till this year, but I have always been in fear of people. And I attribute that to being so sick when I was little and not having control over what exactly happened to me, you know, as far as medicine-wise and having IVs and being in pain and this, that, and the other. So here you go. There's the fear part, but I'm still in awe.
Baruch Hashem.
So
but
I don't know why.
Time.
Go ahead.
How many credit cards are you talking about?
Do what?
Next. Go ahead, Hana.
I don't have an Amazon account.
Okay.
Oh, she's talking on something else. So go ahead, Hana.
Randy, the next time that happens, realize that you weren't looking closely enough and you didn't see the mala.
So,
the messenger to take the envelope and hide it.
I have
so you couldn't see it.
Well, you know, that's what I told my friend. I said, you know, I said, an angel did that for you because we looked for it. It wasn't there. And today when I went back to look for what you wanted me to look for, there it was. So I said, an angel brought that to you.
It was there when she put it there, and it never changed. The only difference was your eyes were blinded by the malach so that you would be tested about your certainty and about your connection. And that helped to elevate your fear to awe, and it gives her the opportunity to do the same thing.
Isn't that awesome and slick the way God operates?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, we are out of time. So you all have a beautiful day. And there will be three classes today. Our 11 o'clock class is a Musar class on the Path of the Just. Deep Zohar at 4:30. And questions and answers at 7. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you, Hanok.
Thank you all.